Welcome to the Start, Scale, Succeed podcast with me, your host, Nicole Higgins, the buyer and retail coach, sharing tips, advice, and insight from entrepreneurs that have just launched to multi-million pound business owners. We will be discussing the challenges they faced, advice they would give, and the milestones they achieved and how they got there. Also joining me will be a broad range of experts with some tips and practical how-tos, episodes that will help your business grow and to enable you to live the life you crave. The types of experts that you'll hear from will be those that you will find beneficial as you start and scale your business, from branding and social media experts to mindset coaches in PR and marketing. There will also be solo episodes from me discussing a variety of topics, from sourcing to maximizing the profit in your business. How do you create a range that is going to bring the sales into your business? Today, I'm going to talk about buying fundamentals and making the right choices for you, your customer, and your business. Hi, my name is Nicole Higgins, and if you are a regular listener of the podcast, you'll know that I normally have a guest with me. But today, I wanted to share with you some of what I've learned while working in buying and retail and help you make the right commercial decisions for your business. Now, if you've been in business a while, you will have undoubtedly have made some kind of product mistakes. You might have bought too much of something that you've loved, but your customer didn't really like it or it didn't really resonate with them. Or you might have bought too much quantity of an item. But before we get into the nitty-gritty, I want to share with you one of the biggest mistakes that I made working as a buyer. I was working for a very large retailer whose target market was a young, fashion-conscious consumer, with price and fashion being the main priority. The season before, we had a court shoe which sold millions, and we were in and out of stock and felt that we hadn't potentialized the opportunity and there was more in it in terms of we could make more money off the same or very similar style. So we booked a similar style and placed a very large quantity with the supplier, and that was going to come in delivery drops over the coming months. But then something happened, and it happened quite drastically. The athleisure trend. Now, what I mean by this, obviously, we all know what athleisure is, but it was kind of when it first started. So if you think when Vans were really popular and started becoming really popular, the Isabel Marant wedge trainers were all over the place, and anything that was casual was working. Anything that was formal wasn't working. So like I said, the casual stock was flying off the shelves. Meanwhile, the formal court shoe sales were nothing like they were last year, and our forecasted projections and sales on that category were taking a nosedive. So what did we do? We reassessed all our future orders and asked the supplier not to cut the material before we could, and so then we could put it into another shape. We cancelled where possible future orders and relooked at our buys on formal shoes and made changes where we could. And we moved the budget and the money behind formal product and other products into that casual area. And we had to promote and mark down some of our formal stock because we were too heavy with our stock. And so we could then move quickly into the casual trend. But we still made our profits and sales targets for the season. So what are some of the things that you can learn from this mistake? Don't overorder based on your lead time. And what I mean by this is if your supplier lead time is 6 weeks, to turn around new product and deliver, then you don't need to buy 12 weeks worth of stock or 24 weeks worth of stock. Yes, you might get a cheaper price, but if you're trialing something, you don't know if that product is going to work. So from a cash flow point of view and from a risk point of view, you're better only placing what you need to place. So if your supplier can turn around product in 6 weeks, then maybe buy 6 to 8 weeks worth of that stock and not more. Your customer is going to change, and as they evolve, their priorities will shift. So making sure that you're in tune with your customer and what they want. So how can you do this? You can do it by asking for feedback, doing surveys, listening to what they say, hanging around in the comments and seeing what's going on. And then keep an eye on the styles that you consistently repeat. If your audience isn't growing, then they'll all have this product and the market will be saturated. So you either need to get new customers or you need to update or introduce new products that they're going to like. When you do make a mistake, act fast. Don't sit on it and dwell on it. You know, it's better to take 20% off now. You know, if something is slow, it's better to take off 20% now and offer on promotion than having to mark it down at 50 or 70% later on. Look at what you have that's coming in that's similar that you might want to either cancel or change. Try and understand why it's not working. Had you just bought too much of it? Were you too early with the trend? Is it not right for your customer? And some of the ways where you can understand and research trends are WGSN, who do some great free newsletters, Fashion Snoops, Google Trend, Pinterest for Business, and obviously check in with your customer as well. Understand what is happening with them. Now, when you are buying and building out your ranges, I want you to think of these three things and keep these three things in mind: people, product, and profit. So I'll say that again: people, product, and profit. Your customers are the ones that are putting the money in the till. So that's firstly where your number one focus needs to be. It influences everything from your product choices to your social media. So what do you need to understand about your customer and how are you going to speak to your customer? So you want to understand what value or benefit you're going to give them, who they are, where they are, and if you have different types of customers as well. You want to understand what their age range is, what are their priorities, what are their concerns, and you might have a broad customer base. So if you take Primark, for example, they supply kids, men's, ladies from a really broad range, but their main core customer is aged between 18 to 30. They are price sensitive, but they love fashion. And their tagline is amazing fashion for amazing prices. If you think of Nike, also a very broad age range, but the glue that binds them together is active, fashionable individuals who consider physical activity as part of their lifestyle. You want to think, where does your customer hang out? What social media platforms do they use? Where are they most present? And how do they like to be communicated with? And you can understand a lot about your customers from your sales, from creating surveys and asking for feedback, from doing desk research, such as looking at forums, looking at Amazon reviews of similar products, and looking at the bad reviews as well. And that's really key to understand what they don't like about certain products. This is particularly great if you are starting out as well and you're creating a brand or creating a product. What are the pain points that people are finding with that product? Bad reviews is a good way to look at that. Then you want to think about what makes your business special and what sets you apart. So how are you to be able to connect with your customer? You need to be able to understand what your mission and vision is, and that will help you guide the decisions and choices you make in the business. So when you think of mission statement, that's used by a company to explain in a simple and precise way its purpose, what it does and who it does it for, and potentially how it does it. If you think of a vision, a company's vision statement is more the bigger picture and it's what a company hopes to achieve in the long term. So to give you an example, LinkedIn, we all know LinkedIn, their mission statement is to connect the world's professionals to make them more productive and successful. But their vision is to create economic opportunity for every member of the global workforce. So you see how they're different. They're slightly different. One is bigger picture, one is more, this is what we do and this is who we do it for. And then the other is a bigger picture. It's more of an ideal. And then another one, for an example to give you, is Nike. So their mission is to bring inspiration and innovation to every athlete in the world. And they say, if you have a body, you are an athlete. Their vision is to do everything possible to expand human potential. So again, that's bigger than its mission. Then another way for you to help what makes your business special and what sets you apart and how you communicate that to your customers is understanding what your values are. So understanding and establishing your own company values, and that's the foundation of beliefs that a company stands for. So if we stay with Nike for inspiration, their values are innovation, authentic, connective, and distinctive. So if you think of their products, their advertising, and everything they do, their values are intrinsic and linked to all of that. And that's why understanding these when you are building your business, building your product ranges and selecting products is, does it fit back to my values? Is it what my customer wants? Is it what they expect to see when they shop with me? And then understanding what your unique selling point is. And some people will struggle with this to understand what makes them different, but it's what you do better than your competition that your customer wants. So your customer needs to want it and you do it better. And that can be service, it can be product, it can be quality, it can be innovation. So it can be quite a few different things. And some of the common mistakes that we can make about customers is assuming customers' behaviors and opinions won't change, trying to appeal to everyone, and believing that just because you can, that you should. So you might be buying ranges and have come across a great deal. You might be thinking about, would they have a great following? I'll use them as an influencer or I'll collaborate with them. But it needs to link back to your business and your values and your mission and everything else. So it needs to make sure, you need to ask yourself, does this product align with my business? Does it align with my goals? Does it align with my customer? Does it make sense? Will my ideal customer want this? Will my ideal customer expect to see that influencer using my product? Is it all going to resonate with them?
Are you ready to scale your e-commerce store? Want to do it without having to wear yet another hat and become a digital marketing expert? This episode is brought to you by Neon Digital Clicks, the paid traffic partner for family and women's e-commerce brands wanting to scale their stores from five-figure to six-figure months using Meta, Google, and Klaviyo marketing services. Neon is offering listeners a free scaling audit worth £3,000. So whether your sales have plateaued or you're looking for growth, this is a great opportunity to lift the lid on your business and identify where the opportunities are hiding. Head to scalingglow.com to discover just how much revenue you could scale your store to this year.
And then moving on to the middle point of people, products, and profit in building your ranges for your business. Thinking about when you're planning your ranges. Now, some of the things that you want to think about and want to reflect back on is your customer behavior. So what are your sales telling you? What is your customer feedback telling you? Your customer profiles, who am I buying for? And then really focusing on those things. Look at your best and worst sellers and what is that telling you? So make sure that you're looking at the numbers and the data before you're planning and buying new ranges. Going back to some of the comments that I've made before, why didn't it work? Were you too early with the trend? Was it too expensive? But when it was reduced, they really liked it. So it's still the right product, but the price point was wrong. So do you need to find a cheaper option of the similar product? Review your range of brands. You know, if you're selling branded product, which brands are giving you the most sales and checking your stock against your sales? What product categories are working for you and what aren't? Make sure that you're setting yourself sales targets. And you want to look at the margin of your products and both your, you know, previous sales and where you need to be. So if you've got a target margin, which you should have, what margin are your best-selling products? If they're significantly below margin and you're selling a high volume of that product, then that's going to be affecting your overall business. So you need to find similar products at better margins that are then going to make you more profitable in your business. And then you want to be looking back on what lessons you've learned throughout your business, throughout the year. So this is, you know, when you're planning for your next buy and you're planning for your next products, what worked well? What brands worked well? What promotion activity worked well? What social media worked well? How did you perform as a business owner? What could you have been done better? What did you need more support with? You know, if you had delegated XYZ, would that have been better? What did you do well? You know, don't beat yourself with a stick. You know, what did you do well in business as well? Now, if your business is new, and you won't know yet then what your best and worst sellers are, but what you can do is you can look to the competition, an even bigger competition. So not even if you are a local high street children's wear store, you know, you can look to, if we think of Next, it's a massive children's wear department. You know, if you're not sure, okay, what should be my biggest category, boys or girls? You know, have a look at, right, girls will be their bigger mix of their business over boys. And it will probably, if you look at their number of options on their website, probably will be 60% of the overall business of kidswear. And boys will be 40%. But you can look to your competition in terms of, right, how big are their categories? What are the categories that they're playing into? You know, and you can learn a lot from your competition when you are starting out. And even, like I said, that bigger competition. When you are planning your ranges, one of the things I mentioned before is looking at what's happening with the trends. So using Google, using Pinterest for business, using white papers that you can find on the internet. If you put in white papers, if you're looking at a beauty brand and you put in white papers plus beauty, you can see what comes up. Look at Statistica. Another one is Edited. These are all information that you'll be able to get. It's going to help you guide your buying decisions. Have a look at the competition. What can you do better? What direction are they going in? What do you want to learn from them? So if I give you an example of something that when I worked in buying and I was buying lingerie and M&S had the market share on lingerie and we were looking at it as our sizing. I wasn't working for M&S. I was working for somebody else at the time. And we were looking at what could be some of our quick wins. And M&S were very inclusive on their sizing. And we looked at if we added a couple of sizes to small sizes and larger sizes to some of our core lingerie items, we could have put an extra 2 million on the bottom line. So that wasn't going out and finding loads of new products or new suppliers. That was extending the product range. You know, so some things, you know, you can learn lessons, like I said before, from your competition. Some of the things that you're going to have to think about are your economic factors, your cost of living. So you might want to think, right, okay, if I look at my price points, I want to have more pickup price points that people don't have to really think about to purchase. So you might have more of those entry-level, lower price points than you used to have because of a cost of living crisis. Then another thing you want to think about is, how long do I want to have this item on sale? So we call it weeks on sale. So is it going to be a very seasonal item? Is it going to be there all year? Because you don't want to be, if it is going to be there all year, you don't need to buy your year's worth of stock. You can place repeats. But you want to think about, how long am I expecting to sell this product? So am I buying 6 weeks worth of sales? Am I buying 4 weeks worth of sales? And just making sure, you know, if you do have something, then you're buying it seasonally. It's a seasonal product, like Christmas product, that it is a much shorter lifespan. So you need to make sure that those deliveries on time, you're promoting the hell out of it when you've got it in, because you have such a small timeline to sell that in. Another thing you want to think about with when you're building your ranges is your choice. So you don't want too many items, to be honest, too much choice, but what you don't want is too many me toos. So you want things that do a different job to something else and aren't competing and taking away sales from another item. You want things that are going to be incremental sales. So if you think about a black dress, for example, you don't want to have five different black dresses in your range, because they will invariably take sales away from each other. You might want two or three, a long one, a short one. You know, they need to have something different about them. And then coming back a little bit to kind of weeks on sale, you need to think about that seasonality that we're talking about. How long do you want it on sale? When will you launch it? And when do you want it to be sold out? And all of these product choices, they're linking back to what we talked about before, your mission, your vision, and your values. And then when you're reviewing your range and you're planning your, you know, your for your next season and your next buys, I would do a SWOT analysis. So SWOT analysis is looking at strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So when you're thinking about your strengths, this is a little bit like your lessons learned, but you know, what worked well, what brands, what product types, what price points, what suppliers, what social media event, what market worked well, what service worked well, what influencers worked well for you. And you make a note of that, and then you can build on that for the future. Then you think about your weaknesses. What could you improve? You know, is it customer service? Is it your returns? Is it your product descriptions, your imagery, your website navigation? Looking at, right, what's your website conversion? How can I improve that? So then you're thinking about, right, what are the opportunities? How can I capitalize on my strengths? What's the competition doing that I'm not doing that makes sense for me to do or investigate? You know, how can I engage customers more? You know, think about where the opportunities are. How can you make more profit? So again, looking at those bestsellers and the margin, and seeing, right, what are the categories that you can do that are similar that will have better margin? And then understanding what your threats are. So what are your obstacles? You know, is cash flow an issue? Do you have a lot of dead stock? Did you miss trends? Have you had issues with suppliers? So what are you going to do about that? What's happening with your staff if you have staff? So thinking about creating commercial ranges, you want to plan and build cohesive ranges that complement your brands and your products. You want to ensure that you have newness in your ranges, balanced with core product choice without that cannibalization, without those too many me toos when we think back to that black dress. You want to ensure that you're getting the right quantities based on your supplier lead times, your seasonality, your weeks on sale. And I want to talk to you about the Pareto rule. So if you've not heard about the Pareto rule, you might have heard like the 80-20 rule. So 80% of your sales in general come from 20% of your products. So you want to make sure that those 20% are always in stock and have high margin. And if you get those products right, and they're high profit, and you have consistency, and you have good stock availability, and they're probably the things that you're running ads to, then that will solve a lot of issues with sales for you. So if I think back to when I was working on lingerie, like I mentioned before, I used to buy lingerie for a supermarket chain. We had hundreds of different types of products in lingerie. And so we had seamless products, we had sports bras, we had lacy, sexy lacy products, but a large proportion of the volume came from our basic three-pack t-shirt bras. So we always made sure that they were in stock. They were in every single store that we had. We promoted them heavily. They were the ones that we renegotiated with volumes every year to make sure that we got the best margin that we could for that kind of product. And then thinking about your profit in your business. So we've talked about people, we talked about product, people have been your customers, we've talked about product, talk about profit in your business. So here I want to talk about a couple of different things. So quantity, understanding what volumes you need to buy to make the sales in your business. Now, this can be really difficult when you're first starting out, but make sure that you're keeping it lean and you're not sitting on stock. Because if you're sitting on stock, you're sitting on money, you're sitting on cash. So, which means then that cash is tied up in product and you don't have maybe the cash then to spend on advertising or marketing or social media support or whatever it might be. And then if you are sitting on high levels of quantity, then you're going to have to reduce that product, which is going to eat into your profit margins. Then I want you to think about price architecture. So if you think of this, so price architecture is your entry, your mid, and your exit price points. We used to call this in my buying world, in my buying career, your good, better, and best. So good was your entry, better was your middle, and best was your exit. So generally in a business, you will have a range of good, better, and best price points. So if you think of it as a triangle, the base of a triangle is your good and your entry. So that's a bigger number of products. Then the middle level of the triangle is better. So that's usually have slightly less quantity than your good or slightly less volume behind it than your good and entry price points. And then at the top of that triangle is your best in terms of price points. So again, you have less product there and they are a higher price point. So you want to understand what is your best-selling price point and why, and have you bought enough for that price point for the next year, and what margin your best-selling products have. So when you're looking at your, you know, your bestsellers, are they all within that better price point? Do you have enough of a good and entry-level price point? Is it something that you've not really played in? Because one of the things this really helps is it helps to increase your average order value. So if you can have more of those pickup price points that they don't, you know, customers don't even really need to think about to get maybe over that shipping threshold and to drive up that spend, then that is great for you because it's going to increase your average order value, increase your average transaction value. And normally your good and your entry price points are a lower risk in terms of product and you usually have more volume of that product. And if you have a couple of stores, they would generally be all store. And then as it goes up in price point, your higher price points are generally higher risk. And it would be, you would have less of that and you would buy less depth behind it. Still with me? I hope you are. So staying with profit in your business, when you think about the sales, so sales are a driver of profit. So you can have some low margin, high trend products or high desire products that can help drive a large volume of sales. So if I think back to my days when I bought health and beauty products, we used to have own buy wipes that might have been around mid 50% margin. And we would have had a branded wipe that was a mid 30% margin. But everyone was more aware of the brand that was obviously the branded product. But we bought so many of them, it drove volume and it drove cash profit. And also it had a halo effect. People weren't going to come in and just buy that one item. They were buying a variety of items when they came in. Thinking also about your markdowns and your promotions, you know, planning them in, not always being on sale, emailing your subscribers first and rewarding that loyalty. So you really do need to be aware of not always looking as if you're on markdown. So if you remember Debenhams and when it was on the high street, I used to work for Debenhams and we would hardly ever be on sale. We used to have two mega days a year and it was crazy. We just used to make so much money from those mega days. But then it got to a point, the business brought in product that was at a really high margin, but only ever sold product on sale. So then people would only buy with them. They would wait and buy with them when they were on sale. So, you know, it's just something to be very mindful of that you're planning in your markdowns and your promotions. You know, yes, there can be some things that aren't going to work for you, but then said, offer to your email list first, try a urgency in terms of for 24 hours only. So you get it cleared out and to clear out that inventory rather than looking as if you're always on sale. You know, and the reasons that you would obviously be looking at markdown is to clear out old inventory, to increase sales during a slow period, to compete with other retailers if everyone is on sale and you feel that you need to be on sale. And this is a good way that you can stay competitive and to attract new customers, particularly kind of around Black Friday. You've got so many people that are online and shopping and expecting discounts. So it's a great way to attract new customers during that Black Friday period. And another reason that people will have product on markdown and promote is they want to create that sense of urgency, like I talked about earlier, with offering different limited time periods. And then, you know, thinking about your margin and your profit within your business, you know, you should have a target margin that you want to achieve in your business, and understanding what your expenses are and the sales that you need to have in the business to give yourself profit after your expenses. So remember that if you keep people, your customer, product, and profit in mind when you're buying and you're creating your ranges and you're selecting those ranges, you will make better decisions for you, your business, and your customers. So thank you so much for listening. My name is Nicole Higgins. If you need support with any of this in creating ranges for your business, buying, making those strategic decisions, then please do reach out to me on Instagram. You can find me at The Buyer and Retail Coach. You can email me, nicole@thebuyerandretailcoach.com. I do strategy days with clients. I work one-to-one with clients, helping you build your business both from the start and to scale it. So thank you so much. And I'll be back again next week with another great guest. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Start, Scale, Succeed. If you've enjoyed today, I would love for you to leave a review, and I will see you again next week. If you'd like to hear more from me, your host, Nicole Higgins, you can follow me on Instagram at The Buyer and Retail Coach. Check out my website, www.buyerandretailcoach.com, or find me on LinkedIn. All the links are below in the show notes. And don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter, The Step, for lots of helpful tips and advice.